Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello and welcome to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is custom domain champion, Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings.
Also joining us is Product Red aficionado, Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Ooh. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. It's going to go great with my silicone band.
Matt is holding up an iPhone 13 Pro Max silicone case with the MagSafe Product Red. It's going to be snapped onto Roy's phone here pretty soon. Very beautiful color. Tim Van Claveren, host of Cooking with Tim, will not be joining us. He's out tonight. But directing the show back with us tonight is Joseph Meacham.
Hello, hey, gamers. I'm glad to be back.
Yes,
welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. I missed you guys
know
too.
Who else? Aw, I might cry. And the more we talk about our subject tonight, I might actually
you'll probably cry more.
Hold on. Let me get my tissue here.
Right, I literally should have gotten a box of tissues for just this episode. Matt,
here, I got one for you.
Awesome. So the Windows Surface event, keynote or conference number 2, and their new very emotional take on Windows. Ever since Windows 11, they've been trying to pull at people's heartstrings and go back to what brings everybody together and allows them to create and live and work and play and enjoy family time. And that's Windows.
I'm pumped. Let's do this.
You pumped?
I'm pumped. I want to talk about this.
Right. This isn't going to be surface level. We're going to go deep. We're going to get down into the emotions.
Nice pun.
So I want to get right into it. The Surface Laptop Studio 2-in-1 is where
Surface
I want to start
Laptop
off.
Studio was probably the most beautiful thing that I've seen all year. It was
except for that little like hub underneath the keyboard area. I love it. Like it is a beautiful. Gorgeous device. It looks amazing with Windows 11, and this is probably a Windows product that I am happy about. It is.
What do you have against that little hub thing?
Well, I just feel like it doesn't go all the way to the edge and stuff like that. It just feels like it adds a lot more weight to it.
There's like the little thin surface, and then underneath it there's a recess. So you're talking about the recess?
Yeah, the recess of it. Yeah.
Okay.
It just, like, to me, it just seems like they should have figured out a way to go away from that, get rid of it. I mean, it is, don't get me wrong though, it is a powerful device, so it probably helps with the core components of the device itself. But it's just it's amazing either way you look at it. I don't really care for the pencil as much, or the pen.
It looks like a thermometer, like a digital thermometer.
Yeah. And I think they like it's black. Like, couldn't they have made it like white to match more of the look of it? But
it doesn't look economical at all.
It doesn't. But
About the specs of the studio. Talk about the like core of it, and then get into like the details of it. That sound good? How you guys feel about that?
Sure, sounds good.
So the Studio 14.4-inch Pixel Sense Flow Display. And Pixel Sense is just the trademark that they applied to... Do you guys remember the actual Microsoft Surface? Like the table thing that they came out with that a bunch of people could use time? That's... That technology got rolled into the Surface laptop, or the Surface just devices, where you can like put things on the Surface screens and the Surface will recognize it as like different devices and stuff. So they actually sell this dial that can go on the actual Surface screen itself, and you can control things like, I don't know, Adobe Premiere, Spotify, DJ apps and stuff with a physical device that goes on the screen that you can actually turn. So side note there, 120 Hertz display, 24 by 1600 resolution, 3x2 aspect ratio, 10-point multi-touch screen, Dolby Vision support. You can get it in 16 gigs or 32 gigs of LPDDR4 RAM. You can get it with an i5, a Core i5, 11300 processor, or an i7-11370 processor. It has, so that little underpiece, that recess there, you can dock the Surface Slim Pen 2 under there, and that's where it will charge. And then it has like Windows Hello, is launching with Windows 11, comes with a bunch of preloaded stuff. And then like in the box is going to be like the power supply and all the documentation and stuff. And it has, so it has a GeForce RTX 3050 Ti GPU. So it's going to be like incredible for multimedia production and stuff. Two USB-C Thunderbolt 4 ports, 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, and then a Surface Connect point or Surface Connect port. 1080p front-facing camera, and their like new dual far-field studio microphones, so that it like cuts down on the amount of like background noise while you're on like Zoom calls and stuff, and then Wi-Fi 6 and Bluetooth 5.1. Backlit keyboard is probably the last awesome feature, but yeah, so pretty comprehensive, like. Everything all in one device. What do you guys think of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely a pro device. Like this is actually something that I was really excited about when I read about it. The fact that it comes with Thunderbolt 4 ports, because I'm not sure that this original Surface supported Thunderbolt ports. I thought it was just USB-C ports before. I didn't think that it supported Thunderbolt. So the fact that they have Thunderbolt, because my MacBook supports Thunderbolt, and it's like, I mean, it's fast. It is super fast all around. You know, my monitor is a USB-C Thunderbolt port, so I can plug it directly into it, and it's so powerful to do. So. Technically I could use it here. I could plug it in and have all my devices connect to it. It is actually one of the things though that I was really excited about. It's a beautiful looking device. I mean, Windows 11 looks amazing on it. The fact that you can fold it down and use it as a tablet is even more impressive. You know,
did you watch the part where he like unclicks it from the back just to pull it close? Like the thing about the things that you love is like you pull them closer to you, and he like unclicks it from the back of the laptop and like pulls it forward, and you're like, oh, oh, I see, Microsoft. Okay,
yeah.
The versatility going from laptop to tablet, and the fact that it's still powerful enough to play high-end games and do a lot of high-end things. I mean, yeah, you're going to spend, what is it, $1,600, $1,700?
$1,600 for the base model.
I mean, you're... you could buy this and it's gonna be spec'd out for a while. And it's gonna be versatile. I mean, you could buy this and it'd be the same as, I mean, obviously from a Windows perspective, buying an iPad and buying a MacBook. I mean, you're basically getting the best of both worlds without really the downside of either. You know, you're not going to be limited. Not that iPadOS hasn't come leaps and bounds in becoming more laptop-esque, because it has. But the Surface Studio, I think, is really kind of the best of both worlds.
And if you think about it too, because the cheapest, if you look at, what size screen does it have again?
Like four.
14. So if you did the 13-inch MacBook, total spec'd out there, you're looking at 1500. But, the intro is $1,299, and like Roy said, you're getting also an iPad, technically, kind of in the sense of it. You're getting a tablet and a computer there itself. So I think overall it makes more sense if you were to get a tablet and a computer that this would probably be the device for you, because you can really do it. And when I think of tablets, like tablets and computers to me just don't go together. Like I don't think that I would ever use a touchscreen on a laptop per se, where I would sit there and touch and use the keyboard at the same time. But being able to fold it up and use it as a tablet exclusively would probably make more sense to me. Because like if I'm on an airplane or I'm on a bus or whatnot, and I need to have quick access to the screen and stuff like that, I feel like that would be helpful, because like, again, on a plane, you don't have a lot of room, you know, and stuff like that. So for the sense of it, and the fact that it has kind of like a built-in kickstand too, where you don't actually have to buy an extra accessory to hold it up, you know, would probably save you money as well. I mean, there's nothing really on the market that's really like it. I mean, there are some touch, like tablets, touchscreen computers out there. I think Acer makes some, and some of the other ones that power Intel. But, like, they're just junk, I feel like. You know, I've seen some people come in with these, like, Acers or whatever, and they fold this, screen over, and then you have what the keyboard exposed on the bottom, and yeah. it just looks ugly. Like, it just looks, the way that this kind of pops down and covers the keyboard, protects the keyboard from damage, protects the keyboard from getting dirt and dust in it. Like, all the times I think of it when people brought those around, and I seen people, you know, at Starbucks or whatever, and they would flip it over and stuff like that, I just feel like how much, like, you know, exposed your keyboard is to damage or liquid or whatever, you know?
Yeah, like anything you have on the table could just get into the keys, and yeah. If you're not paying like critical attention to what you set it on, anything could happen to it.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that you can bring this down and then also bring it up, like, it just, yeah, totally.
I also don't like that as a tablet. I mean, granted, you got to take the cons with the pros, but it's still going to be a heavy tablet. Like, I would not want to use this as like a long-term tablet solution. I think, like what you said, Matt, like, hey, I'm on an airplane, so I want to use it in tablet mode. You know, you're more space constrained, but I still could not use it as a standalone tablet, specifically as a tablet with something that's that heavy.
And it's going to be heavy, so it's not going to be something that, like, that's what you buy the Surface for, something that's mobile, that you get to walk around with. I mean, in most of the shots of this particular product, they were either, like, it was on a desk and they were drawing on it, or someone was bringing it to a workstation, plugging it into monitors, and then using it as, like, maybe a touchscreen device with a wireless keyboard somewhere attached to it. And I have a 2-in-1 flippable laptop with a touchscreen on it, and it's heavy and clunky and it's not elegant, and then you worry about the keyboard, and like one day you're going to set it on something and it's not going to work out. I think that this device is like what you get from a first party manufacturer that cares about like design and hardware. I mean, it's kind of like Apple-esque in the amount of attention that they paid, I think, to detail. Like you walk into a store and you see a bunch of laptops that kind of all look the same. It has maybe like a gimmicky folding attribute to it, but this is like, you bring it towards you, you push it away. I feel like the hinge on this is very intuitive and it folds over the keys, like you guys were saying, where it protects the thing where is that's probably the most fragile.
Yeah. And the one thing that I like, the one thing that this device really calls out is creators and developers. Like they really called out developers in this, and creators at the same time. They offered it to somebody who works at Microsoft, I think, and does a podcast and does a YouTube channel. And he's also a developer. And, yeah. You know, he talked about how much faster it is. Like he has a desktop computer and he talked about how much faster literally using the computer to code and code was. And I honestly, you know, I honestly think that that is a strong sell for developers who, you know, might be looking for a new laptop. Unless you're, you know, planning on writing Objective-C or Swift, then probably stick with Apple. But like it brought new life to me on what is possible. Like I really like the direction that Microsoft is going with Windows. Like I think Windows 11 looks beautiful on this device. And I think it's going in a direction that will eventually be an all new version of Windows, because it definitely was designed for this in mind.
And both of you guys mentioned the Surface Slim Pen 2 that also got announced with this event. This is a pen that works with the new Surface. It works with this Surface Studio laptop. You guys were saying that it was, I'm going to paraphrase and say it was kind of a beast of a pen. What did you guys think about the Surface Slim Pen 2? Yeah.
I'm not a fan of pens. I don't like, I have the Apple Pencil and I don't use it as much as I thought I would use it. When I originally got it, I suck at drawing. Like I'm a horrible drawer. So even, I mean, I'm better with an Apple Pencil than I am with a regular pencil, but I'm so bad that it wouldn't make sense for me to get it. I have horrible handwriting, so taking handwritten notes is not, I'm more of a typer notes type person where I type things out. So I don't know that the pencil or the pen would do much for me.
If I was more creative and into design, a graphic design or something like that, a job where doing something like that, like if I worked for like a magazine or something like that, I could totally see where something like this could come in handy. Like Matt said, I would much rather sit there and type out notes than write them. I don't have good handwriting myself. If I'm writing that fast taking notes, I'm probably going to barely be able to read my own handwriting as it is. I personally, even if I had an iPad, I don't think I would have much application usage for an Apple Pencil, and therefore probably wouldn't even get an Apple Pencil. I don't think it seems very ergonomical. The fact that it's more flat makes it, to me, I feel like it would feel sharp in the hand, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, it almost has the shape of a thermometer, just that it's not as narrow at the tip for as long as a thermometer is. I don't think it was the best design choice Apple could have made, or not Apple, Microsoft. I like the idea that it has that dock built into like the Surface Pro and whatnot, where it's right there available for you. And that's a cool design. But that's where it ends for me.
One of the other neat things about this, maybe the only neat thing about this pen, is that it has a haptic feedback, like, I don't know what you put in it to give it haptic feedback, but as you're drawing with it, it's going to give you a, like, pen-on-paper-like experience, which I thought was really interesting. Like, in a sea of, you know, the Galaxy Fold 3 getting the new Galaxy Pen, you have the Apple Pencil, the Apple Pencil 2, the iPad Mini, like, there's a sea of being able to write on screens with something. I feel like if Microsoft just released another pen that was slightly better, I feel like it would just kind of get maybe lost in the shuffle. But having a haptic sensor is at least novel enough to be like, oh, they tried something new with it. That's interesting. It might be a slightly different experience than any of the other pens. Because as far as I'm aware, I can't think of a pen or pencil or something that has a kind of tactile feedback to it.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes with what you were saying, Matt, where Microsoft seems to be like targeting the more creative individuals, and they focused a lot on like drawing with all of the Surface devices. There was like some kind of artistic element to it that they were trying to show off. And yeah, this pen, when you mentioned that it was flat, Roy, I kind of noticed that this pen is almost like those like really flat, maybe like architect or like artist pencils or something that have this weird
the carpentry pencils.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's bringing to my mind.
It definitely does have that look to it.
Very boxy. I
mean, the Apple. It's funny because the Apple Pencil, where the side clips to your thing, is kind of flat. And honestly, I don't really notice it like when I hold it. So I don't like, to be honest, I don't know that this look of it would make much of a difference to me. It looks like, I mean, looks kind of like a normal pen to me, kind of, but with just different shape in it. However, it would be nice to see it in person if Microsoft had Microsoft stores still.
Right? Where are they? Why?
I might have to go into a Best Buy and see if I can find one to try out.
$29.
Yeah.
Kind of up there in price, I feel like. But you want to go to a Best Buy, because if you go into a Microsoft store, they're going to try and make you cry.
You're going to walk in and they're going to be like,
bring my tissue. Bring my tissues with me and be like, yeah.
You're like, family, welcome.
I'm just going to cry when I walk in there.
We've been waiting for you. Where have you been?
All right, so let's move on to the Surface Duo folding phone.
We don't really need to talk about the Surface Duo, do we?
No, we don't, except for one thing that I think that they did that was absolutely beautiful and like made me gasp out loud for reasons that I don't understand. But I have the specs up, so I'll read those, and then we can kind of talk about the Surface Duo 2. So dual pixel sense fusion displays, 8.3 AMOLED, 2688 by 1892 resolution. Single screen is apparently 5.8 inches in diagonal. HDR screens, dual displays, 90 hertz adaptive refresh rate, so not 120, 800 nits of max brightness, and Gorilla Glass Victus. Which seems to be on all the like super flagship phones these days. 4,449 milliamp hour dual battery. That's the typical capacity. 12 megapixel, 1.7 aperture. Wide camera lens on the rear. A telephoto 12 megapixel, 2.4 aperture lens, and an ultra wide 16 megapixel 2.2 aperture lens. The front facing camera is a 12 megapixel 2.0 aperture lens, and apparently it has a flash on the back. No like LiDAR or infrared. Auto mode with low light and HDR multi-frame photo capture, dynamic range scene detection, a night photography mode, a smooth zoom between all rear-facing lenses. It has a portrait mode, panorama mode. You can capture short video during photo captures.
Basically everything that Android has.
Everything that Android has, 4K video, 1080p, slow motion, all the good stuff. Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.1, and then 5G. Snapdragon 888 processor goes up to 512 gigs of RAM, starts at 128, or stored, excuse me, and then 8 gigs of RAM. So decently spec device. Yeah.
And the you can use a slim pen with it.
And the pen with it, yes.
So the most that I took out of this whole thing was that they redesigned the phone app in Windows 11 to pair perfectly with the Surface Duo. And I'm glad they redesigned that because I've never used the actual phone app in Windows. But I heard that it wasn't the best quality and it wasn't the best. What I would have liked to have seen here, and what I was hoping for, is that they were going to ditch the Surface Duo and create to come out with your first phone after failing multiple times to enter the phone market, to come out with the Surface Duo folding phone, which folding phones aren't very popular right now. Among that, they're super, super expensive. And it's just, to me, I feel like they could have done better by actually releasing a Surface phone running Android or running a modified version of Windows, which they make some... They do, I believe, but to run a version to make a new Surface phone that is not a dual screen phone, I think would have been better for them than to continue with this line. It just seems like this phone is way overpriced, and I just can't see them selling a lot of them. You know, $1,600 is well more than any iPhone or Samsung or Google Pixel or OnePlus. Like, I mean, that's a lot of money for a base model of 128 gigs.
And just to compare, like the Surface Studio laptop that we were talking about, that we were like actually impressed with, is $1,600, which is the price that you can get like the 256 gig version of this phone for, is that price, which is insane for Microsoft.
Well, no, because the Surface laptop starts at $1,599, and the Surface Duo starts at $1,599 with 128 gigs.
Oh, I'm seeing $1,499 for the 128.
No, it starts at $1,599 for the 128 gigabyte. You know, I have a friend that is a huge Microsoft fanboy. He was, you know, everything Microsoft had the Microsoft Surface when it came out was huge into Microsoft phones. And he recently broke his original Surface Duo like a couple months ago. And he went out and got a different phone. And him and I started talking about the Surface Duo too. And I told him that what I really wanted to see from it was a foldable phone that wasn't just two screens on a hinge. You know, had more like what the Sony Z Fold looks like, where it's one seamless screen that has a foldable screen hinge. And he's like, well, it's not supposed to be a foldable phone. It's supposed to be a dual screen phone. And I'm just like, I get what you're saying, but that's ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he went on and on about saying about how it works for multitasking. It's two different screens and it's supposed to look that way. And I'm just like, if you get the Samsung Z Fold, which looks much prettier than the Microsoft Surface Duo does, you can still do the multitasking. You still have stuff on one side of the screen and stuff on the other side of the screen. There is no reason in 2021, if you're going to make a foldable phone, that you need to have that ugly split down the middle. And the fact that Microsoft stuck with that design is going to make their phone look so dated. You know, if they're trying to make it look like a little mini laptop, whatever, it's such a small niche market that I can't imagine that it's going to make them that much money.
To me, it looks like a Nintendo, a Nintendo 3DS type thing with the hinge there. I'm also looking at one article and it says that it's also priced $100 more than the original Surface Duo.
Is it like a Surface Duo 1.1?
Say that again. Matt, say that again.
This is like a Surface Duo. When I saw this, they didn't do anything technically different than just like refine the design of it, add better cameras on the back, or just they didn't have cameras on the back of the first generation. And yeah, there wasn't anything
added,
super.
They added 5G to it.
Yeah, which is like you have to now.
Yeah, I mean, everything does. I don't know. I think Microsoft is going in the wrong direction again with their mobile devices. I think that they need to ditch the dual, and they need to create a better Surface. Like I was actually looking forward to seeing possibly a Surface phone, and not a Surface Duo, like a one screen phone that looked amazing, great hardware, great interaction with Windows 11. Really disappointed in this. $1,600, like it's not going to appeal to people. It's not going to compete with Samsung. It's not going to compete with OnePlus or with Apple. They are going to continue to own this market until Microsoft can get to more of a competitive price. And this is not a competitive price or device.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. They could launch a Surface phone that has the same look and feel as a Windows 10 phone did, but runs on top of Android. You give us the live tiles, you can give us everything, and I think something like that would sell. It's still an Android phone, so you still get all of the apps that are developed on Android. You don't have to worry about trying to woo developers, and I think that would sell. This thing isn't even usable unless you open it up, which makes it so much more cumbersome. At least with the Samsung foldable phone, you can still do stuff with the outside screen. There is no outside screen on this. I mean, the market of people who are going to want this is so small that I can't imagine that Microsoft is not bleeding money from this investment.
Yeah. And I agree with you too. And you made a point too, how you talked about, making a Windows 10 or a Windows 11 device that looks similar to what Windows does. And that's what I was kind of hoping for, but I wasn't thinking that it was going to run over Android. What they did with the Windows 11, being able to run Android devices on there, I would have liked to have seen another version of Windows for a mobile device is in itself and able to run Android developing apps, you know, kind of like what they're doing with Windows 11, where you can run Android devices, but you're actually using Windows. So just my thoughts on it. I think it's dead. I think it's time to move on.
Do you think that Microsoft, do you guys think that Microsoft is targeting with the Surface Duo 2? Because the Surface Duo 1, like, do you guys remember anyone talking about that as like a positive experience? Like
I said, even I had one friend that was into it. And I went into imagine who they're targeting.
I went into a Best Buy to look at it like about a month after it launched, and nobody was looking at it. I don't know. I can't see it being very popular. I think I found it at Best Buy. I can't remember for sure, but you don't see people out there with them. You see tons of people out there with iPhone and Android phones. This is not how they're going to get back into the Windows market, like for phones, you know.
I want somebody out there to get a hold of us and tell us if you like the Surface Duo, why you would choose one over Samsung Z Fold, and why? Like, what about the Surface Duo makes you want it more than a Samsung Fold? What can you do on the Duo that you can't do on the Fold 2? What about the design aesthetics do you think are better about the Surface Duo over the Z Fold? I need to know, and I need to understand why.
How about this? If you own a Surface Duo 2, we'll give you a platform to come on here and talk about it and
evangelize.
You can explain to us what you like about it. Cause I'm not getting it, and I don't think anybody else is.
This price, it's so much.
Yeah, it is. It's insanely, like, that, and it's 128 gigabytes. Like, I could understand maybe if it was starting out at 256 gigabytes, but I just, like, that's a lot of money, and $100 more than the original.
And we're all people who kind of manage multiple phones kind of at the same time. Yeah. So, like, this is just kind of binding those together, and yet the experience that it's offering isn't compelling enough to lure, at least me, someone who's kind of flexible with my ecosystem. I'm still looking at this, and I'm like, I don't know if I trust Microsoft to make a dual-screen phone after kind of fumbling with the original Duo. And with, like, layering stuff on top of Android like they are now. It's not like a native Microsoft experience.
Well, and the thing, too, is that I I'll say it again. I've said it before, but Microsoft could have impressed a lot of people at this event. I mean, and released an original Surface phone that was one screen, that was thin like, you know, the iPhone, the Samsung. And they could have blown people away, and I think it would have been a lot more popular than this is ever going to be. This, to me, I would laugh if there was a lot of people that were pre-ordering this to be delivered on October 21st, because that, to me, is just ridiculous waste of money.
Maybe so, just for fun, I went online to see who they're targeting, and somebody actually created a post in the forums of the Windows Central, which is kind of like a Windows news thing, and basically people are saying the primary audience for the Duo is mobile professionals, like consultants, sales executives, first line workers. And then some dude is like, you know, I was in a taxi and there was a guy that was trying to juggle, like, his GPS and his payment apps, and it's for these people. And it's like, but once again, you could do this on another foldable that is much nicer looking and much more.
I've never gotten into a Lyft and seen somebody with a Surface Duo. I'm sorry. Never gotten into a Lyft or an Uber and seen it. It not happening. Not in a million years. Especially because, like, people that make Lyft and Uber don't, like, you know, they're usually doing it towards extra income. Like, they're not going to spend this much. Like, I see people with Android phones, iPhones. This is not, I can't see this happen. Like,
and there are so many, like, good Android phones at the low end that you could buy. And having two separate phones allows you to have the horsepower running on the two separate phones and not shared by one processor on one phone running two screens. So.
Yeah. All right. We've wasted enough time on that. Let's move on to the Surface Pro, Surface X, and Surface Go. So, not really impressed with the Surface Go. It's a nice entry level device. But I don't know. I just can't wrap my arms around a Go. I don't know. I guess I would just say it's looks too flimsy to me. Looks like a tablet type thing. More like an iPad with an iPad keyboard.
It's definitely like an iPad mini kind of like adjacent competitor, because it's like $400 and then you can attach the keyboard to it. $399,
And it's the same as the iPad, because you can buy a keyboard case for the iPad and attach it to it. It tacks magnetically from the back of it. But I just don't see much for the Surface Go line. If I'm gonna spend money on a device, a Windows device, I'm gonna get something a lot more powerful, the Surface Pro 8 or the Surface 10 or Surface Pro X.
If I was a small business owner, and I, you know, had like say I started, I don't know, something like people who go out and consult for installing furnaces or contracting work and something like that, where they needed to have something like this in the field. That's what this is for. That's what I would buy this for. I would not buy this as a consumer. I don't think that it's really that super powerful enough on an individual level. I would do this for like a small workforce And that's what I think this is going to be great for. Great for maybe some college students that need something to do homework on. But it's not a huge upgrade from last year at all. The only thing good about it is its price and the fact that it's essentially like having a really cheap Microsoft laptop. I mean,
like Chromebook almost.
Yeah, except for you're using Windows, which has its benefits of using Windows over Chrome OS. I mean, you're going to get access to the whole Microsoft suite of programs, which, like I said, if you're using this for school, this is great. I could see I could see schools using these in lieu of Chromebooks if the schools didn't already have Chromebooks.
Or yeah.
But that's really where the application ends for me. It's not a powerhouse. Yeah. It's not going to be able to do a whole lot.
And even during the announcement of this product, it was in a home where the guy, I think, was talking about just like the Surface ecosystem in general. And he's like, oh, and my kids, they have Surface Go's. Isn't that cool? They can like pick it up and take it and stream and watch things and then put it down. And then he moved on and they spent all of like 2 minutes talking about the Surface Go. So I don't think.
Yeah.
You can't play Fortnite on it. What's the point?
That's the benchmark.
Doesn't even support Wi-Fi 6. Yeah. It just, to me, oh, it does support. Never mind. Take that back. It does support Wi-Fi 6. To me, it seems more like a Chromebook type style, maybe. Like an entry level Chromebook. It runs Windows 11 Home in S mode. It does give you an Xbox Game Pass for 1 month, so ooh, you must be able to play video games on it.
Yeah, but again, maybe I don't, it's just cloud gaming
where you're probably definitely not. I would much rather go for a Surface 8 or a Surface X, in my opinion. The Surface X, though, I just feel like, I don't know. I mean, 128 comes with LTE models. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on the Surface Pro 8 or X?
Anytime that I've seen Surfaces,
like a black sheep. Like, I felt like it was. It wasn't a needed model between the 8 and the Go. I don't think we really needed the X. You know, you're going to bring out one with LTE. Why are we just using LTE this day and age? It should have been 5G bands on it, in my opinion. The price is not that impressive at $899. I mean, you can spend a little bit more and get the Surface Pro 8, which is where, once again, you got the Surface Go, which is an affordable price, and I understand its place. And then you got the Surface Pro 8, which we'll get to in a little bit, which is not that much more than the Surface X. I just feel like the Surface X was like, well, you know, well, we had the Surface RT, and we gotta have something to replace it, and this is it. They should have axed that line.
The thing that I don't get is why they're still supporting only LTE. Why are they not supporting 5G in this? You know, the iPad mini features 5G. Like, I mean, that just, to me, seems like a not worth it. Like, again, why am I going to buy a technology that's already out of date and is going to continue to be out of date? You know, 5G is ramping up right now, and 5G is what everybody's talking about. So eventually LTE is going to be a lot like what 3G was, you know, remember when everybody got 4G and then they got 4G LTE, like, you know, to me, they're still putting in a technology that's already dead in my mind.
And like 5G is the multitasking, like productivity technology. And anytime that I see Surfaces, it's usually associated with maybe being out in the field or maybe being at a sporting event or something in some like major city where 5G is going to be the technology that you have access to. So I'm surprised that 5G wouldn't be in it, at least for that reason, since they're partners. Yeah.
I was just going to say they're targeting it as a pro device. Mm-hmm. And yet it's using a technology that is already obsolete. Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't. Yeah.
They blew all the 5G budget on the Surface Pro Duo. On the Surface Duo 2. That's what they're going for. That's where we get all our 5G.
Yeah, I don't know that I would buy a laptop or even a tablet that has built-in LTE or 5G either way. Like, to me, like, I have a phone that's 5G capable, hotspot, and, you know, I would much rather do that than rather have to pay another, you know, certain amount of money for another plan, you know. One of the reasons why I didn't get a cellular iPad, you know, because I have a phone and that's always going to have the latest network, because I'm going to continue to upgrade that. You know, I'm not going to upgrade my iPad every year. So to me, it just didn't make sense. It's just hot spots from my phone. And then I don't have to pay an extra plan because it's already built into my plan as it is. But like, to put in a technology that's already technically, in my mind, obsolete or behind the times, it feels like when you're buying a Surface X or a Surface X, because the Surface 8 Pro doesn't come with LTE, but to put it in there and then have LTE, like, come on, and not even invest in 5G.
So I'm curious, who do you think that Microsoft is targeting with the Surface Pro line? Like, we're talking about how it's a pro device, so you could invest in putting the latest technology in it to, like, have it be the tip top of your offering.
I think that, like, so for example, I think that maybe perhaps somebody, you know, they could target designers and developers, or not designers, but graphic designers, because they might use more or less a powerhouse PC, but they want to do drawing and stuff like that. They could do that on the Surface, you know, the Surface Pro 8, you know, or the Surface X. But I just don't see it, like, you know, elderly couple maybe, you know, that may not have, you know, that wants something light and compact. Maybe they're traveling the world in a RV or something like that. They might want a little more powerhouse. They might want a little more. They might want that LTE, you know?
Well, see, Roy is saying that they should get the Go, and you're saying maybe they might want a little bit more power, but like, as probably like the tech people in our families, we'll be the ones probably suggesting like what technology that they get. And so
or the Best Buy salesperson who's trying to make more money on their sale, you know, I mean,
you're going to get that upsell.
You know, they're going to get that upsell, you know. So, you know, but I do think that the camera is probably better in the Surface X and the Surface Pro 8 than the Surface Go 3. I still think there's some ways to sell the Surface Pro and the Surface Pro X to people who might be in line for a Surface Go 3. But to me, it's not going to appeal to a lot of people. So again, I think Microsoft is targeting, I don't know what they're targeting with this, but
who wants definitely the best Microsoft, like, Windows experience in a tablet form, you get the Surface, yeah. Right? That's been like story so far.
They should have thrown 5G in the Pro 8, and they should have thrown 5G in the Go, and maybe, you know, slap an extra $50 on the Go or whatnot, and completely killed the X line.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. I think they could have done that and then just had a single Pro device. You know, because the nice thing about the Pro 8 is it does come with a full version of Windows 11. It's not running S mode. So you are getting a full version of Windows 11, which I don't know what the difference is much between the S mode and the original version. But I mean, it's probably going to run faster, I would say. The storage again starts out at 512 gigabytes though, versus I think the Go started out at 128. Was that right?
I'll double check here.
Surface Go 3.
Surface Go, tech specs, storage. 64 gigs of eMMC or 128 SSD.
What the hell? Come on. Like, who's getting 64 gigs? 64
gigs. I mean, it's a Go. The kids, they can load their homework and their documents and stuff. And the one the one Fortnite game they need.
See, that to me just makes the Surface Go a dead to me, unless you get the 128 gig, and still 128. Like they should have done 128 and then 256 gigabytes for this.
100%.
Hands down. Yeah.
I do like on the Pro 8 though that you can swap the SSD yourself.
Yes. Removable SSD is not, storage is not really something that you see on a tablet, and they normally have expandable storage, but like SSDs are so like revolutionary in their speed. Like it's kind of insane to me that Microsoft would allow someone to remove it and not just like solder it on to like save space or something like that.
Yeah. So, well, there. Oh, I did want to talk lastly about. Hold on, let me get back to my mouse notes here. Absolutely. The mouse, yes. The
Microsoft Ocean Plastic Mouse.
I laughed for a first minute when they said that it was plastic, and I'm like, you're really calling it plastic? But then I got it after that. But
what gets me the most is they make this, we've made this such environmentally consciously friendly mouse out of, recycled ocean plastic, but it takes a AA battery.
But they will give you a free kit to mail in your old mouse back to Microsoft.
To recycle your old product.
It should have been a rechargeable battery built in. I mean,
I agree. Hands down. We're at the point where if you get a mouse that does not have a recharging device, I think it's worthless.
$24.
But for the price of $24.99, that is a pretty good price for a mouse. I will say, to put in a USB-C cable probably wouldn't have cost that much more. You probably could have sold it for $29.99 or $39.99, and put in a rechargeable battery.
So difficult for them to get the process to put 20%. It's 20% recycled ocean plastic, a breakthrough in materials technology. How could they have afforded any? They couldn't spend any more on 5G. They could only get 20% plastic inside of this, 20% recycled plastic. I'm not sure that Microsoft is ready for the big step of rechargeable battery.
So the entire body of this mouse could have been 100% recycled plastic.
Yeah.
And they only managed really 20%. There's water bottles I've seen for sale at the store where the bottles are made out of 100%.
My wife has shoes that are made out of 100% recycled water bottles.
Pop off though, Matt. Go hard. Get it.
They're just trying to jump on this environmental friendly bandwagon that other companies are, and they're just trying to capitalize on it.
Apple's was actually impressive because they were like, our entire product chain is going to be zero emissions or something like that. So they're going to have to work with carbon neutral. They're going to have to work with their suppliers, which is not like a negligible task. And Microsoft is like, yeah,
wasn't
we got.
It,
some recyclable plastic.
Wasn't it the watch that was all of the precious, the rare earth metals are 100% recycled in the watch, and in the phones it was like half of them are recycled rare earth metals. Like, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I believe that it's PR marketing fluff, you know. I can't imagine that Apple cares more about the environment than their bottom line. I feel
why like can't we
things, but
yeah. why can't we recycle plastic or not plastic, but recycle computer chips? We're having a shortage of computer chips right now.
I don't understand this at all. So many other things Microsoft could have done being as big as they are, but they're like, we've got this mouse. Can you believe it? 20% recycled plastic.
And they did talk about accessibility quite a bit there. I don't know if you caught that as well.
Very, very impressed with that, actually.
Which I was really impressed with, like, labeling the cables, like, and that would not even be, like, that would even be great for, like, an elderly couple that, you know, might not know where to plug their cable into. That would be, I feel like they could have maybe built in the cabling though, put like a special tip of the color of the tip or something like that on the cable itself, and built it in there instead of having to peel off a little sticker and around there. Yeah, it gives you a little edge to pull the cable or whatnot and stuff like that. But they could have just maybe painted the end of the cable the color that matches, you know, what port it goes into. So just my thoughts on that. But I do agree that accessibility kits and stuff are really good for people who are disabled. So,
and Microsoft is the only company that I've seen. We've watched Samsung, we've watched Apple, that has focused on accessibility to, I think, not the extent that Microsoft has, but dedicating time in their presentation to not only just talking about it, but like showing it off. Like, they opened the kit, took out the products that were inside, kind of showed off. They had the labels that you could put on everything, the little key caps that you could put on all of the keys to like give them more tactile feel, and then like all the labels and stuff. So, like, I learned something during the presentation.
And the I mean, Apple has really good accessibility features built into iOS and iPadOS. Like, I mean, if you see people out there, I saw somebody and he was paralyzed from the neck down or whatever, and he had an iPad attached to his thing, and he had a phone attached to his wheelchair and stuff like that, and he all controlled it through something on his wheelchair. And he used, I think he used like something with his nose or something like that to control what he's trying to target on there. But again, accessibility is really important. You know, it's very important when you build apps and you build, you know, websites and stuff like that, that you build in accessibility for it. So hands down, great work for Microsoft to bring in attention to that. And I hope that others like Apple and Google and Samsung all do that in the future, because I think that we can continue to grow on that progress and help the part of the world that's disabled use technology better.
I really agree.
There you have
that note.
That's the Apple event, all in about an hour and 5 minutes.
Microsoft event.
Or Microsoft
not,
event. Sorry.
Not Apple event. Microsoft is going to cry if you confuse them with Apple.
They're going to cry either way.
They're going to cry either way because, you know, they're going to be like, oh, this podcast was so great.
It was, wasn't it? It was just so touching and really came from the heart.
It did.
Anything else you wanted to share, guys?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm glad that you people listening at home invited us into your home. I know it's a very personal space, and it's, you know, it's so great that you invited us into your home, which is so personal. Thank you.
And on that note, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the Gooply Cast. And a big, giant thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite and familiar podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show. You can join in. And also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, whether here on Earth or in outer space. We'll catch you next time on the Gooply Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Gooply Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the Gooply Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.